Remember that technology is your servant. It is not your master. So don't be a slave to it. Don't be controlled by it. Learn to turn it off when you don't want to use it. Just like at home, I don't leave the phone on the hook when I'm having dinner with my family. Now, if I were a surgeon that was needing to respond to, say, an emergency situation, I wouldn't do that. But you have to decide what your own situation is and decide exactly when you're going to use technology and when you're going to turn it off, so that you can perhaps do your voicemails and emails if it's a mechanical process when you are doing mechanical things, even exercising. I very, very seldom go through a lot of mechanical communications when I'm not on a bike, a stationary bike. So that way I can do two things at the same time. You have to decide how you're going to use this technology. Do not become a victim of it, as many people are. Literally, it just can dominate their entire day and drain their most creative energy. Keep your most creative energy for your most creative tasks and challenges. Come up with an agreement with your group, for instance, that you will not bother each other at a certain time during the day when you're most creative. And that even when you do have meetings, label everything as quadrant 1 or quadrant 2 and ignore 3 and 4. Try to do quadrant 2 first, unless the fires are burning in quadrant 1 and you simply have to put them out. Remember that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Most people don't do that. Most people literally put second things first, or first things second. They know they shouldn't neglect their health or their family or their integrity, but they get sucked into a software program in a social environment that just drains that whole resolve away. In a highly technical world today, you have to be very, very careful that you don't allow technology to become your master. The average father spends 5 minutes a day with the child and 2 hours with television and claims he hasn't time for the child. Remember this. This is the fundamental philosophy. You learn to say yes to what is most important and no to that which is urgent if it is not important. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Don't get submerged all day long with your email, your voicemails, to where it totally drains your creative energy out. You are the master, not the servant to this technology. Don't get seduced by it.
So let's talk about this daily page then, in relationship to the plan daily. Now remember, when you hit daily planning, you've already done your weekly planning. But planning daily had 3 steps to it. What was the first step? Who remembers? Plan daily. Check today's appointments. So I would look at this and I would look at my appointments. Now, notice the first appointment on there is for voicemail and email. People have told us one of the best practices they have developed in managing email and voicemail is to schedule times to do it. Some people have to schedule more times. Some people only schedule it twice, but at a minimum, we recommend beginning and end of the day, and you actually block out the time to do it. If you block it out, you'll protect it. If you see it on the calendar, you'll protect it. So I look at my appointments. What's the next step? A realistic list. Thank you, Chelsea. So I look at my appointments. I look at the time available. And I look at the tasks that I want to accomplish. So, again, some will have already been here from weekly planning. But let's just create this task list. Here are the things that for today I want to make sure I accomplish. Again, daily planning is on there. It's just a great habit to get into. So we said the second step was to create the realistic list. As we go through it, daily planning is the first thing on the list. I still recommend that you put daily planning. It's a great habit to get into. Have daily planning as a task. And then it will be the first thing that you do every day. So some other things. I realize that I'm going to buy a gift for someone's wedding. I'm going to call the literacy administrator. Now, we didn't earlier look at the goal of Janine's, but there was a goal she had where she wanted to do some volunteer work. and she was going to teach literacy. And so that's where this task came from, was a goal that was values driven. Finalize a sales report, going to read the professional journal. How many of you have professional journals you get that you'd like to make sure you stay up to date on? Especially in some tech areas, I imagine. I need to call Wendy about some budget information, and I need to call my travel agent for a trip. So I have the list. Now, Greg, what's the next step? I'm going to prioritize the list. I'm going to give everything an A, a B, or a C. This is a very quick step, but it's one worth taking. You'll see in the planner, there is a column that allows you to prioritize right there. And not all paper-based systems will have this. You'll find in electronic or in technology, some of them have a high, medium, low option. If you're using Plan Plus, which is a great overlay on Outlook, it leaves Outlook alone, but then adds some of these features. You can do A, B, C. But it's just very quick to go through the list, make a quick decision based on importance. Is this high, medium, or low? So I go through my list. Daily planning for me is an A. Buying the gift is a C. Calling the administrator is an A. Why? It's a values-driven task, and it's something I want to make sure I do today. It's high importance today. Finalize the sales report's a B. Reading the professional journal is an A. Calling Wendy is a B, and the travel agent's a B. So I quickly go through the list. Everything gets an A, or B, or C. And then I go through the list one more time and do what? Yeah, I sequence first the A's. I'm going to sequence the A's. My A1 is planning. My A2 will then be to call the administrator. A3 is read the journal. So in terms of my A's, that's the order I plan to do them in. I look at the B's. B1 is to call a travel agent. B2, finalize the sales report. B3, call Wendy. There's only one C. It gets a C1. Happens very quickly. And I'm through the list. I'm ready to go. And I've earned my first check for the day. Right? All right, I go to A2, which is to call this literacy administrator and start getting some information on how to volunteer. So I make the call, get the check. So now it's, 8:30 in the morning. Read professional journal. How likely are you at 8:30 to whip out a professional journal and start reading it? Unless there is something immediate about that journal that I need for something today, I'm probably not going to do it. I still consider it an A in my life for today, but I'm going to wait and do it a little later. So it is okay to bypass a task, but it's a conscious decision. It's not done because of procrastination. It's done for the right reason. So I look at B's and I go to B1. Calling a travel agent is something I could delegate. Now in this case, I decide to delegate it to someone in our department who will take care of travel arrangements for us, whose name happens to be Gary. So I will put on the outside of that column a G for Gary. The G is the initial of the person who I'm going to ask to do it. Once I have chatted with Gary, and Gary says, "Yes, Steve, I'll take care of those flight arrangements for you," I then place a circle in that box telling me it's been delegated. It's not done yet, but it's been delegated. And so there's a reminder here that keeps reminding me, if I don't hear back from Gary, then I'm going to follow up with Gary. And at some point, Gary will get to me, hopefully with the information, and I will get to then check it off. B2, finalize the sales report. Now I'm working on the sales report, and while I'm working on that, I get a call from a customer. A shipment has not arrived for a seminar tomorrow. Am I going to say to the customer, "Well, I got to finish the sales report"? Absolutely not. But there is a symbol. There's a dot that I can place next to that. What does the dot mean? Yeah, it just reminds me. There's a legend up at the top here, if you look right here, that tells you what all these symbols mean. And the dot is in process. And what that means is, this is again a reminder that tells me you started it and you left it. And that reminder is to tell me where I left off. So when I handle this situation and I come back, instead of saying, "Where was I? What am I going to do next?" I can see I left off right there. and so I can get right back where I left off, and the recovery then is easier. Every day you want to make sure that every task on your task list by the end of the day has one of three symbols next to it. A check that you've done it, an arrow that you've moved it, or an X that you've deleted it. That's how you close out a task. If there's still a circle with nothing else in it, or just a dot, at the end of the day you have to make a decision. Do I finish it, move it, or delete it? Make the decision and do it. Either move it ahead, delete it, or finish it right then. So the task list, if you'll prioritize it and then use the symbols to track it, you'll be managing your tasks all day. You'll be aware of where you are. You'll make better decisions when new things come up. Typically, new things come up, we do them all. And it's because we don't have a good frame of reference. The task list provides a great frame of reference. This is not a to-do list.